God is a rewarder. How did he introduce himself to Abraham? He like appears and says, I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. What a way to introduce yourself to somebody when you're God.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, join Jeremy Pearsons and his special guest John Bevere as they begin their dynamic teaching on how living a life of honor brings great reward.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Jeremy Pearsons, and I'm in this week for my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, who are traveling and ministering as they almost always are. And I'm thrilled to be with you again this week. I have lived a pretty privileged life, I think. I was thinking about this last night. I've grown up in a great household of faith. I have wonderful grandparents, parents, great family. But in my little short life so far, this has got to be one of those top 10 kind of days. We are honored today and all this week to be joined on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast by author and speaker and all-around awesome guy, John Bevere. Thank you so much for being here this
Jeremy,
week.
Jeremy, it's so good to be
we
here.
We are so, this, I can't tell you how cool this is for me personally, let me say that first of all, but to have been so affected by your ministry and your books. And I know that our audience at home is thrilled to be a part of this as well. We are looking forward to getting into what you're bringing to us this week.
I got to say something. It's a privilege for me to be here because as a young believer back in the late 70s and early 80s, the man and woman who ministered to me so greatly and really got me on my walk of faith was Kenneth and Gloria Copeland.
Nice job.
And I could go on and on, but I used to, you know, that was back in the days of the cassettes. And I remember
cassette,
in college,
I've heard of those.
Cassettes, I know, it's totally dinosaur for you. But, you know, I remember I used to, you know, play Kenneth's tape. And one particular tape, I think it was, I can't remember the name of it right now. I wrote the entire thing out by hand by stopping and starting a little Panasonic tape recorder and your mom's, grandmother's books, God's Will for You and God's Will's Prosperity. I literally have notebooks. And I was just going through our storage the other day. I've got all those notebooks written out, but you know what they instilled in me, and they really were my pastors, and I cut my eye teeth on them spiritually. Mm-hmm. More than faith, they instilled in me the integrity of God's word and walking as a believer in integrity.
Wow.
And so I am forever grateful to your family. So it is a great
praise
honor
God.
And privilege for me to be here as well.
I love hearing that, and we were talking some about this, but it's still stirs in me every time I hear that. I've come across people my entire life who've said similar things, but to hear that, it stirs great respect that I have for my family.
Well,
so
you're walking in the harvest probably of seeds that your grandfather and grandmother, mother and father, your aunts and uncles have sown for years and years and years, and you're getting to walk in the harvest of it.
And it's good.
It's good.
I wouldn't trade it for anything. Now, I know a lot of you are probably watching right now and you're saying, John Bevere. I wonder if he's related to Lisa Bevere.
That's
and the
right.
fact is, he is related.
Thanks for saying that.
Yeah, this is John and Lisa Bevere. They are co-founders of Messenger International. They are authors, best-selling authors. And some of the things we've talked about, John, that are so exciting is not just writing a book or preaching a message, but literally being all over the world. You're in over 50 languages now. Is that right?
Yeah, the books are in 50 languages.
And they are reaching people everywhere. And we praise God for that. And this broadcast, of course, is going out all over the world as well. So you just stack all this stuff up together, man. You guys are making a huge dent in the kingdom of God and doing what he's called you to do. So we're thrilled to be here this
week.
What
a privilege to serve our King.
Amen.
That's the way I see it.
Amen.
You know, Jesus, it's because of Jesus. He gave his life for us so that we could be eternally the children of God. To me, that's first and foremost in importance. Ministry is an outflow of who we are.
Sure.
Every person that is born again as a child of God. And there's nothing greater than that. I see so many ministers, and what happens is they begin to get their focus on the ministry rather than the fact that they are children of God. Mm-hmm. I was first of all saved. Yeah. I want to die in love with Jesus like I started in love with Jesus, you know. And I just want to encourage people out there, because that, you know, people sometimes look at, you know, they'll see people on TV or they're pastoring big churches and they think, wow, that's the pinnacle of serving God. No, being a child of God is the pinnacle of serving God and being obedient to what He's called you to do. You know, I don't want my daddy to look at me at the judgment seat, Jesus to look at me at judgment seat and say, well, you were somebody else.
Yeah.
And I called you to be this.
Right.
And the thing that I want him to hear is, you did what I called you to do. I'm so pleased with you.
Amen.
You know, so.
Amen. Well, you've written, like we said, so much, and you've ministered so much, and I've watched over the years. I remember my introduction to you was The Fear of the Lord, the book The Fear of the Lord, and I'm sure some of you have read that. If you haven't, you should. That's a little side note. But I remember being in my early 20s and watching that and listening to that and watching you on television talk about what I was reading in the book, and it even got to the point in my life where I was getting together on Saturday mornings with guys my age, just a group of guys in a friend of mine's house, and we were reading The Fear of the Lord, and it was changing us. And I've watched the way the Lord does this with you, and He puts you on a track, and your pulpit ministry, church ministry, conference ministry, it's so much of the time it runs right in line with what you're writing about at the time. And you've written something recently entitled Honor's Reward.
Yes, sir.
And that's the reason we're here this week, because we want to jump into this. And I've spent the last several days reading this, and I have read every word of this book. And I would say over the last several days, my perspective on a lot of things has changed. And it changes like that. And and the same thing that happened to me when I read The Fear of the Lord, that deepened awe and respect for this God that we serve. Thank God for the ability to come to Him boldly to the throne, you know, but man, to maintain that mindset at the exact same time of exactly who this is we are worshiping and coming before. And I see so many of those same things running through this concept of honor and the reward that comes from living the life of honor. I want you to take us, beginning at our study, as we jump into to honor and the reward that comes from it, I want to know, take me back to that first time you saw it in the Word of God, where perhaps it was a scripture you'd read 100 or 1,000 times before, but you saw it for the first time.
You know, it really started with one scripture, 2 John. And, you know, we can open our Bibles and read this, and you at home may want to just jump open and read this. But this is out of the New King James. And I'm telling you, this one scripture, two entire books have come out of it. And, you know, John penned these words when he was in his 90s. And there's something I learned about people that are in their 90s, have been faithful to God for years and years. They can say a whole lot in a few words. And that's exactly the way it is with the scripture. But he said, look to yourselves, that, in other words, examine yourselves, that we do not lose those things we work for. To me, Jeremy, that's such a sobering statement. We can lose what we've labored for. That's why Jesus continually says, he who endures to the end. But he goes on to say, but that we may receive a full reward. And, you know, I remember reading that one day and I thought, that's God. He wants to reward us. And, you know, me with 3 teenage sons and 1 son in his early 20s, as a father, I passionately want to reward my children. I mean, I love rewarding them. I love seeing their faces light up and going, sweet dad, right?
But, and as sons, we love.
Yeah, we love parents.
Yeah.
And so that, I'm thinking, you know, that's God. God wants to reward me. I mean, God is a rewarder. How did he introduce himself to Abraham? He like appears and says, I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. What a way to introduce yourself to somebody when you're God. And of course, there's no private interpretation of the scripture. It'd be like him appearing to you and saying, Jeremy, I am your reward. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I noticed one day is John just didn't say reward. See to it that you receive a reward. He said, see to it that you receive a full reward. Now I started thinking, now wait a minute, for John to specifically identify the word full reward means there's a partial reward scenario and there's a no reward scenario.
Sure.
Now, isn't it interesting John doesn't write and say, hey, make sure that you receive a partial reward.
Right.
No, God wants us to get the full reward. Well, of course, he's talking about two aspects here. First of all, the judgment seat of Christ, in which every believer will stand before Jesus and give an account, not for our sins, because our sins have been obliterated by the blood of Jesus if we are believers, but how we serve Jesus in this life as believers. Mm. And we'll receive rewards or we'll suffer losses. But the Bible also says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that godliness has the promise of the life that now is, mm-hmm. and is to come. Now, the and is to come, of course, is the judgment seat. But what about the life that now is? And I started meditating on this in the light of that. And I thought, okay, because, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs, the righteous will be rewarded in the earth. So I started thinking, where do you want to see the picture of God? You go to the Gospels. And I began to notice in the Gospels, there were people that received partial rewards from the ministry of Jesus. There were people that received nothing from Jesus. And then there were people that received a complete full reward in the ministry of Jesus. And I started noticing that there was a thread through all these different scenarios. And that thread is the word honor. Wow. And that's how this all began. You know, if you look at Mark's Gospel, the 6th chapter, Jesus comes to the city of Nazareth, the city in which he's raised in. And the most amazing verse, I mean, this city is actually looking for the Messiah. They're anticipating his coming. And the most amazing verse to me in the Gospels is Mark chapter 6, verse 5, where it says, now he could do no mighty work, you know, in this city of Nazareth, except he laid his hands on a few sickly folk and healed them. So a few maybe bad backs got healed, an arthritis, you know, something like that, a minor case of arthritis. And the words that really caught my mind, my eyes one day, was that he could do no mighty work. And I remember pushing my Bible back. I said, hold it. This doesn't say wouldn't do any mighty work. So I started going through all the other translations. The Amplified says he was not able to do any mighty work. And you see, if it would have said he wouldn't do any mighty work, I could have handled that. That deals with his will. When it says he couldn't do any mighty work, that means Jesus, Jeremy, was being restrained. And I remember saying, wait a minute, Jesus, you're the Son of God. You have the Spirit of God without measure. You're the Messiah, yet you're restrained. So I said, I got to know what was restraining you, because if I know what was restraining you, I'll know what restrained any of us. And the answer was found in the previous two verses. The people looked at one another when he began to read, and they said, is this not the carpenter's son, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? So they're offended with him. And Jesus looked at him and said, a prophet is not without honor,
right,
except in his own town, among his own relatives, and among his own house. And the word honor jumped up off the page, you know, right there. And I thought, now, wait a minute. He couldn't do any mighty works because they didn't honor him. See, in the other cities, he was doing great miracles. But in this city, he comes in, he opens up the messianic scripture in Isaiah and says, the Spirit of God is upon me, for he's anointed me to preach the gospel. And they all knew that was the scripture of the Messiah. Mm-hmm. Then he drops a bomb on him by saying, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, I'm the Messiah.
Yeah.
When he did that, Jeremy,
yeah,
they're going, hey, wait a minute. That's the guy that built the table and chairs in my house. I mean, this is his hometown. Somebody else goes, he was on Timmy's football team. You know, and so the people are withholding honor because he didn't come the way they expected him.
Mm-hmm.
They expected him to come, the Messiah to come as a conquering king that would set up the throne of David. And so when they did, they withheld honor. And the result was he couldn't do any mighty works. So the word honor there is from the Greek word timi, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And timi is a Greek word which literally means this. It means a valuing, all right? So the word honor right there in that scripture, when he says a prophet's not without honor, literally means a valuing. Now, I have a very close friend who is a minister of the gospel in Athens, Greece. I called him and I talked to him about this, plus I read about every translation I can get my hand on, or concordance I can get my hand on in Greek dictionary. And when you speak of honor to a Greek man, he thinks of something that is weighty, something that is precious, something that is valuable, such as gold. Now, when we think about this, we wouldn't take gold and just throw it over and toss it over with our keys, you know, in a junk drawer.
Yeah.
We put it in a place of great value or importance or honor.
Sure.
Okay? Other definitions of this word honor are to appreciate, to esteem, to favorably regard, to respect.
Mm.
Okay? Sometimes, in order to understand what a word is, let's look at what it isn't. The word dishonor comes from the Greek word atimi, which simply means this. Now, this is amazing. To treat as common.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. To treat as ordinary. Okay? To not show respect or to not value. So in all my Greek dictionaries that I read, I discovered that honor can be displayed in action.
Mm-hmm.
It can be displayed in word. It can be even displayed in thought.
Yeah.
This blew me away.
Yeah.
And I got examples in the scriptures about it. But all true honor originates from the heart. This is why God says in Isaiah 29, verse 13, this people draws near to me with their mouths. They honor me with their lips.
Yeah.
But their hearts, they've removed far from me. And their fear towards me is taught by the precepts of men.
Yeah.
So God was saying they have the words of honor, the actions of honor, but they don't have true honor because all true honor originates from the heart as an outflow of the fear of the Lord.
Yeah. That's what was so exciting to me about seeing these two things connect and one being built on top of the other. And the thing that stands out to me about what you're saying right now and looking and noticing this in the Gospels is that these people were eyewitnesses of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, Son of God.
Yeah.
And we often pray prayers like, oh, if you were here, only if I could have seen that, or if he were here, I know I'd be healed. But yet there were so many people that weren't. And they were there. And he was there.
Yes.
And they saw. And he saw them. So the key is not just being in the same room. It's got to go deeper than that. And
right.
That's what you're...
It all has to do with
that's
honor.
That's what you're leading us
and
to.
So, you know, here's Nazareth. They get a very small partial reward. Why? Because they withhold honor from him. And that's what Jesus said. If you look at Luke's Gospel, the 5th chapter, Jesus was teaching one time in a building. There was a bunch of teachers and preachers in there. Okay? And the Bible says, as he taught them, Jeremy, the power of the Lord was there to heal them.
Mm-hmm.
But none of them got healed. And you and I both know God never wastes anything. If the power of the Lord was there to heal them, that means at least one of them needed to be healed. None of them got healed. It wasn't until those men tried to get in. They couldn't because the house was so packed.
Yeah.
They went up to the tile roof. Can you imagine if you were the owner of this house? They broke open the tile roof, let down a paralytic. And Jesus, when he saw him, he said, man, when he saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. Now, when Jesus said, man, your sins are forgiven you, this is amazing. The teachers and the preachers in the room just thought this.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't turn to one another and go, Jeremy, do you believe what he just said?
Right.
They just thought this. Who is this that can forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. And the Bible says when Jesus knew their thoughts, he looked at them and said, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven or get up and walk, so that you may know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He turns the paralytic and says, get up and walk. The paralytic gets up and walks out. And the Bible says all the teachers and preachers were greatly amazed. They were greatly amazed, but none of them got anything from heaven. None of them got healed.
Yeah.
They received no reward. Why? Because they dishonored Jesus just in their thoughts.
Yeah.
If you look at the Roman officer in Matthew's Gospel, the 8th chapter, he comes to Jesus. Now, this officer of the Roman army, a centurion, and he says, my servant, I got a servant that's really tormented. Would you heal him? And Jesus said, I'll come to your house and heal your servant. And the officer immediately looks at him and goes, no, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you imagine this? I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. This is the conqueror speaking to the conquered. There's an officer of the Roman army speaking to a Jewish carpenter. This would be like a United States Marine general looking at a gardener in Iraq and saying, I'm not worthy to come to your home. Do you see the honor that he shows Jesus, the value? And then he gives the reasoning. He says, because I also am a man under authority. And because I'm under authority, I have authority. And I say to this soldier, do this, and he does it. And to do this one, he does it. So I say one word, and my soldiers instantly obey me because I'm under authority. He says, Jesus, I recognize you're under authority. So all you have to do is say one word, and that demon's got to leave my servant, just like my soldiers obey me. And the Bible says, when Jesus heard this, he marveled. Now, this gets my attention when Jesus marvels.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, Jeremy, he says, I haven't found this much faith in all of Israel. Now, wait a minute. Do you know what Jesus just said? I found more faith in this Roman officer than John the Baptist.
Yeah.
Because he found John the Baptist in Israel. And I was like, what? Now, I'm a man of faith. You're a man of faith. This is a ministry of faith.
Yeah.
Okay? We all know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But yet I'd be willing to bet, and I'd win this bet, that this Roman officer heard far less scriptures than John the Baptist. Yet he had more faith than John the Baptist, Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because of his honor, his understanding of honor and authority.
Yeah.
And he got a full reward because he honored Jesus greatly.
Wow.
Well, I started seeing this, Jeremy, all through scriptures in the Gospels. You'll see it all over. People that honored Jesus greatly got a full reward. People that withheld honor got a small partial reward. Those who dishonored him got nothing. And then you take this to Luke's Gospel, the 13th chapter, 35th verse. Jesus makes the most amazing statement 1 week before he's crucified. And he said, I tell you the truth. I'm going away. You'll not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In other words, I'm going away. You're not going to see me again until you honor the one I send you in my name. Why? Because he says in John 13 and all over, he who honors you honors me. He who honors me honors the Father who sent me. And God gives us a spiritual law, Jeremy, in 1 Samuel 2:30. Those who honor me, I will honor them. Those who lightly esteem me, I'll lightly esteem me. Yeah. So how do we honor God? Jesus said, you've done it to the least of these, my brethren. You've done it to me. What you've done to him, you've done to the Father. And the Father says, I'll do to you. So, Jeremy, if I honor you, what do? I honor Jesus. Yeah. If I honor Jesus, what do I do? I honor the Father. And the Father says, I will honor you.
Amen. He who comes to God must believe two things, right? That he is.
Yes.
You got to start there.
Yes.
God, I believe you is. I believe you are.
I love that. Well, you is.
Number two, you must believe. You have to believe this, that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Believing in God, knowing God, it first begins with you accepting that there is a God and he's the God of this universe. He's the God of all creation. But beyond that, you must believe that he is a rewarder.
Yes.
And it was something that's so critical and so crucial to our lives and our walks with him. That's what is so exciting about what you're talking to us about, because really, John, what you're talking to us about is positioning, right? I mean, you are talking to us about living a life that puts you in line for that, not doing something to get a reward, but living out of a life because this is who we are, and this is what I'm excited about getting into this week.
Well, yeah, you don't honor because you're getting a reward.
Right.
You honor because you realize the greatest ransom in the universe was paid for one individual.
Yeah.
Now that makes that individual very valuable. So honor has been lost in our society.
Mm-hmm.
We don't understand the value of human beings. Yeah. It's been taken away, eroded away in our society, in our school systems, in our court systems, in our families, in our homes. And this is what this whole book deals with. It deals with how to restore honor in the home, in our cities, in our schools, in our workplaces. Because when we honor, we're really honoring the person who honors that person, who is God himself.
Yeah.
And God says, you honor me. And
yeah.
That's what's so amazing. This message literally has changed my life.
Yeah.
I mean, our family.
And it's beginning
it's amazing.
Mine as well. Don't go anywhere. John and I are going to be back in just a moment. And I want you to make sure you're staying plugged in through this entire week of broadcast, because this is the very beginning of something. We're going to talk about some of the things that he mentioned, honor in the home, honor in the workplace, honor in church, and above all, the honor that is due to our great God. Amen.
Yep.
Don't go anywhere. Stick around. John and I will be back in just a moment.
Honor's Reward, the newest book from best-selling author John Bevere, underscores one reality. Understand the spiritual law of honor and practice it, and you will attract blessing.
God gives us a spiritual law in 1 Samuel 2:30. Those who honor me, I will honor them. Those who lightly esteem me, I'll lightly esteem them.
In Honor's Reward, John Bevere takes you deep into the Word and demonstrates how you value, respect, and treat others will determine your reward.
In the Gospels, you'll see it all over. People that honored Jesus greatly got a full reward. People that withheld honor got a small partial reward. Those who dishonored him got nothing.
In this passionate new book, Bevere takes on popular culture's resistance to give honor where it is due and provides every believer with the scriptural foundation for obedience.
So how do we honor God? Jesus said, you've done it to the least of these, my brethren. You've done it to me. What you've done to him, you've done to the Father. And the Father says, I'll do to you.
To order your copy of John Bevere's book, Honor's Reward, log on to kcm.org and order online. This book will revolutionize the way you live and is now available for just $18. To request your copy by phone, you may call us at 800-575-4455. You may also write to us at Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Make sure and order your copy of Honor's Reward by John Bevere today.
Honor's Reward. This is a much-needed book for today. John has written out of his heart, out of what the Lord is talking to him about, and I can say already from personal example here, all right, I have read this. I have read every word of this, and for the first time, because I guarantee you I'm going to go back and look at it again. John, I want you to talk just for a moment and talk to our audience about what the mission in this book is. I mean, there's great content, but you're such a great author. You're such a great writer. Talk to us about where this is coming from in you.
I just share my heart. I mean, basically, and I don't write a book unless God really speaks to me, but I really believe that honor needs to be restored in our homes, in our job, workplaces, in the schools, in our churches. And here's the reason why. I mean, just look at it from the enemy's point of view. How do you get children not to be blessed? How do you get them to die prematurely? Get them to dishonor their parents, and they will not have a long life, and they will not have the reward of having a successful life. How do you get people in churches not to prosper in their businesses? By withholding honor from their pastors. And you can go on and on and on. What God desires is to see the harvest come into people's lives, into their homes, into their churches, ministries, businesses, that He desires them to receive. What the enemy wants us to do is to treat people as common, to treat authorities as common, our children as common, so that we don't get the reward that God automatically, by His spiritual law of 1 Samuel 2:30, gives, so that He can keep people from receiving. So that's the reason I wrote this book. And to be honest with you, the testimonies we get, the letters we get are just, they bring tears to your eyes. Mm-hmm. I mean, the countless letters we've gotten from people that have, their homes have been changed, their marriages have been changed, their church has been changed.
Sure.
It's just so exciting. So I know this is a word from God. And look, my name's on this book because I was the first guy to get to read it. That's the way I see it.
Okay.
This is a message from heaven.
Sure.
You know, I appreciate you being kind about complimenting my writing, gifting, and all that stuff. But that's really from heaven.
Yeah, I understand. Well, man, we're excited about it. And I'm thrilled just to get to hear about it and talk to you about it. And we are going to continue in this teaching all week long. But we want to make sure you're aware of what's going on here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Our Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign, November 13th through the 15th at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. This is always an outstanding meeting. My grandfather does these meetings, and this one more than any of them. When he gets home, if I'm not able to go, I say, "Papa, what did you say? What did the Lord say?" And now this is an interesting time in our country to be having this meeting, because this is directly after our next presidential election. So we've got outstanding things that always happen at these meetings, not only the teaching of the Word in ministry, but healing school, praise and worship, an update on our partner progress and partner report. So outstanding things always happen at these meetings. Go to our website for more information and join us, please, again tomorrow. This is Jeremy Pearsons and John Bevere reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or to order a copy of today's broadcast, log on to our website at kcm.org or call us toll-free 800-575-4455. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you with teaching tools, prayer, and other ministry resources to help you live in faith and victory every day. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure.
God's got parts. He can give you a new heart or new kidneys or new anything else. This is the day of miracles and healing.
I'm moved by what I believe, and I believe what God has said. If we believe on Him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our righteousness. Hallelujah.
2008 has been an exciting season of meetings, but it's not over yet. Jump into the deeper things of God at the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland November 13th through the 15th at Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. Jump into the fullness of the blessing and walk out all God has for you. To find out more, visit kcm.org or call 1-800-600-7395.